Okay, is everybody ready to begin? We've passed out quotes to each one of these individuals, and they're going to give us their wisdom, absorb them as a seed thought, and see what comes from your soul about it, and share it with the rest of the group. And I can't think of a better person to start with than Mr. Scott over here.
Oh boy.
Have you absorbed yours yet, Scott?
Sure. Do I stand up there?
No, you just talk there. And talk right. about that distance away.
Is this good?
Yeah, you can test it out there. Testing
so,
one.
The seed dot says, the ways of transforming good intentions into harm through illusion are without number. The ways of transforming good intentions into harm through illusion are without number. So that the thing that comes to my mind is that, my thoughts are focused on what I've been working on for the last several months. And we are here to become something greater than what we were. We're here to become something greater than what we were in the last lifetime that we lived. We're here to become something greater than what we were in the last year that we lived, in the last month that we lived. And the Dark Brothers are here to stop that from happening, and they're really good at it. And it's a chess game. I mean, that's how I see it. It's a chess game that we play with them. If we're not aware of that, then we simply get smoked. And they have their way with us. I think JJ has mentioned somewhere that just altering a belief a fraction of 1 degree And it seems harmless at the time, but then over time, that altering of just a fraction of a degree can result in that belief being way off in the long run. Same as when you're shooting long range, you know, if you're not, you can be a micro fraction off. But if you're shooting long range, you know, 600 yards or so, you can be off your target, off the bullseye by, you know, 5 or 6 feet. And that makes a big difference. And I think that's what a lot of the things that the Dark Brothers do. They come in and it seems harmless at the time. And it seems like it's not that big a deal. And it seems like it wouldn't be that big of a, you know, that big of a leap to believe this as opposed to this. And certainly we'll be forgiven or there will be leeway given to us for not being, you know. But the thing is it's not about forgiveness. It's about the harm that false beliefs do in the meantime while we harbor them.
Yeah, it's kind of like our language. You know, a generation ago they started out by saying, well, we need to correct it, give the females more attention in our language because everybody's saying he. Well, it sounded good. But then they take it a step farther and a step farther, so now you have to call an individual they. So now we don't know if when they use the word they, if we're talking about one person or a bunch of people. So it's really confusing. So if one thing leads to another. So like you say, a small change can be inserted. And then the next thing they'll say, well, let's make more changes. Even if that one change is good, it was great giving females more attention in our writings and things. But then they take it a step farther and a step farther. and stuff like that. So now we have so many things we can't say. Nobody knows what they all are. The average person makes mistakes when he's talking to somebody that's politically correct, and then he gets criticized and so on. So anyway, that's a good point there, Scott.
Okay, we'll turn the time over to Vivica.
Though there be a dozen versions of the truth, there's only one that is true. I was just thinking of, like...
Put it just a little closer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, like, the media, how they're trying to put out truth, or they think it's truth, but it doesn't really resonate with you. Because there's only one truth, and you can feel that within you. If this is resonating, and that's...
What do you say to somebody that says, "Well, you're narrow-minded if you think there's only one truth. You got to consider everything." What do you say to those guys?
If I'm saying there's only one truth,
okay.
You quote the quote.
The truth is true and nothing else is true.
Truth is true and nothing else is true.
Yeah. 2 + 2 = 4 and doesn't equal anything else. But there are many truths. And every religion has some truth in. But when you do find the truth that's in a religion or political thing, it's true and nothing else is true but that. That's a hard thing for people to swallow, yet no one's ever been able to find an exception to it. Except that what they do is they say a perception of truth is true, and that's not right. Our perception has a lot of error in it. But once perception is correct, like if I say Vivica is sitting right there, that's true, and nothing in the universe defies that as being true. Except, you could say, everything is an illusion. We're having a dream. But even if it's a dream, like the Course in Miracles says, in the dream, she's still sitting right there. You know, so, that truth is true, and nothing else is true. She's not sitting over there, and she's not sitting there. She is sitting right there. Thank God. Okay, anything else, Vivica?
No.
That'll do it. By the way, big hand clap for Lucy. She's finally here.
Lucy, introduce yourself.
Too many people love illusion. They want to be tricked into believing what they want to believe and not let the facts get in the way. Well, this is a true statement. A few things when I read this, what comes to mind is why? Why do too many people love illusion? Why do they want to be tricked into believing what they want to believe and not let the facts get in the way? And the answer I do get somewhere has to do with the ego. And also laziness. I think when the truth is out there, and you have the option to believe illusion or to dig further, it's an easier way out, the least resistance path. So it's easier for people to just go along and just follow the illusion and let the other pioneers do the hard work, break down the illusion, and then they'll follow through. So I don't know if across the ages to come this will always be the case. It's been like this for centuries and millenniums now. Hopefully one day we'll get to the point where this will be inverted.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You came here with a purpose. When you discover it, you will feel an inner fire that moves you forward no matter what others say to discourage you. That feels pretty true to me. But if I'm interpreting that correctly, I think that has something to do with soul contact. So I'm guessing that when you discover your purpose, you've made soul contact. And so when you make that contact, that's probably a pretty strong feeling, and you're not going to turn back, and it's going to move you forward. So that just seems pretty straightforward.
Well, let's talk about important decisions you've made in your life. Like when you decided to marry Adam, did that just feel right to you?
Not really.
Who asked you?
Who asked you? Yes. And I think that there are, lots of things in our lives that we can probably all look back on, instances that feel big, and when we know, when we felt that we knew something was right or the right path to take for us. So,
can you think of a fork in your lifespan that you made the wrong decision and it just didn't feel right? Can you think of something there? You don't have to tell us about it. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm sure there are plenty. I mean, specifically, I'm not sure.
Well, if you're like my wife, then you think you've made the right decision all the time.
No, I don't think that. A few years ago, we were on a path that was different than we are on now, just with health. And I had people in my family who were sick. And so to discover that we were on the wrong path with that, and realizing, we'd made some choices that weren't, right for us.
So when you reach a fork and you make a right decision and a wrong decision, Can you feel the difference in the vibration?
Absolutely. I can, I think. And definitely feel more peace and calm when you've made the right decision. So.
Yeah, there's a definite difference in the feeling. And then you can use that positive feeling to gauge. If you make a decision and you get a positive feeling, then you can be more comfortable that you're headed the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay, let's turn it over to Mr. Ed.
Well, this one has 8 statements in it. It's kind of long. I'll just kind of take them one at a time here. It says, there's a time to play by the rules and a time to break them. There's a time to play in the box and a time to think out of the box. There's a time to embrace with love. There's a time to respond with firmness. A time to include and a time to exclude. But the time is always right to assist a willing pilgrim on the path. And when I read this, the first thought that comes to me is wisdom. When you reach a point of connecting to your true self, you have a sense of the timing. You know what must be done and what must not be done. And the time to break the rules are we speaking of? We're talking about some rule of someone in the neighborhood. I think with wisdom, you know the rules. And regarding to what Scott was saying about truth, I think there's one infinite truth, and it's infinitely diverse.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed, for not taking 3 hours with that one. But you probably could.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Time for everything. Mine says, once the light of truth is seen, it cannot be unseen, for light reveals and darkness hides. Well, what came to mind for me is that the consciousness of each and every one of us is expanding, kind of like a nautilus, getting bigger and bigger as the circle or our ring pass knot advances. And so, as we move in awareness and consciousness, you can kind of color in that space that we've moved out of into a rainbow of colors. And then outside of that space is darkness. And so we're moving perpetually into a greater state of conscious awareness. And that enables us or empowers us to create a group consciousness like we're doing. And there are very few people that are capable of doing what we're doing because they haven't expanded their ring to a place where they can be selfless. And really, in the service that Ed just mentioned, you really have to move into a place of wisdom where you can be of service to those, not only in the group, but in the world. And another thought that came to mind is, truth is like toothpaste. Once it's out of the tube, you can't put it back in. I don't care how hard you try, you just can't do it. And so once you see a concept like, could be molecular science, could be a reincarnation, could be being a part of the new group of world servers, whatever, once you grasp that concept, you know, it's an integrated part of you. It's in your consciousness. And you just have to act on it like we're acting on it. So that's what it means. Once the light is seen, it cannot be unseen. And once we are seen, we cannot be unseen.
This says, achieving union with your own head and heart is difficult indeed, but achieving it with two or more people is a Herculean task. However, the reward is great power to move through any obstacle. And I think that's kind of in a nutshell what the molecular relationship is about. But that's what we're really striving for right now, is to basically see the Christ within each other, be able to look past the personality, and you know, like this kind of suggests, even doing that with yourself and trying to be okay with yourself is difficult enough. And you know, there have been instances where we may have all had this, where you just kind of gel with somebody, and it is magical. If you've ever been on a sports team, sometimes you just know where people are going to be at any particular time, and you just know it just works really well. And so the molecular relationship, the molecule is that times a million. You know, it's we'll get there eventually, but it's it is a slow task, and I look forward to that.
Good.
Dang it. So it says here, your eyes reflect your soul, your smile your state of mind, your walk reveals your attitude, and your face is a roadmap of your journey through life. So yeah, it's true. So I was writing some notes, and I'm like, so typical me to write notes on the back of the paper.
That's
it,
those notes.
But what I thought about is the whole time when it talks about, like, eyes or your soul, your smile, state of mind, walk, or your attitude, it's all physical things are representing the internal. And what I thought about is that the age of technology has probably hurt us more than helped us. And I feel that this is the age of transparency. And I feel like our children are a lot more in tune with the spirit than we all believe that they were. You know, I think sometimes there was even a Time magazine article that talks about how intelligent children really are, how babies are highly intelligent. And so I thought about this Einstein quote that said, the only thing that interferes with my learning is my education. And it just reminded me of, like, in the work that I do, and I don't want to get too into this, but something that came to my mind that kind of hurt us more than helped us was, like, my parents that, like, stayed in a very toxic relationship together for 30 years and then got divorced. And there was this old saying that says, stay for the children. But if we were to look at this, and it talks about transparency, they lied to themselves because they started getting physical symptoms in their body. You can't lie to your body. And so the second thing is, they lied to us because we were absorbing all their emotions. And the last thing is, you can even absorb stuff in the womb. So if my mom's having a hard time with my father, which I heard she did, I'm getting attacked in the womb emotionally. So again, it's just like this just whole thing reminds you of like you can't hide what's really happening inside. And we should be honest with ourselves and just be transparent. And I'm done talking.
Me too. Oh, by the way, Artie, did you do Yale? You don't have one yet, do you?
No. That's
do you have one, Adam?
I don't. Do you want us to grab a couple?
Yeah.
No.
Let's make sure that they're included here.
They're right here. Give me
one. Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay. You guys aren't going to escape. If you don't like what you got, well, put it back in and grab another one.
Okay, well, I have this one. Freedom of speech is determined by your government. Freedom of thought comes from yourself. And, you know, I think there was a reason that freedom of speech was considered so highly with our founding fathers here in America. And they made the first amendment of the Constitution. And even though the governments that don't have freedom of speech, those people who live in those countries still have freedom of thought, even though they can't always act on it. And I thought, in some of those autocracies, there must be people that live in those countries that would love more freedom, particularly the freedom of speech, without getting their heads chopped off, thrown in jail or something like that. And by watching what happens in the freedom-loving countries who do have freedom of speech, maybe, you know, somewhere down the line that, you know, there'll be an uprising or something and they'll change things in their own country. Be nice if we all had freedom of speech. But those are just some thoughts that I had about those two statements.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is even if you're in a country like North Korea, you still have freedom of thought if you're willing to take it. But when they control the exterior, it reaches down to most people's interior, so they don't even think they have freedom of thought. So that's something that no disciple should ever relinquish, is freedom of thought. Because, let's say in North Korea, probably I'd say 80-90% of the people don't even consider they have freedom of thought. But there is a handful, and they try to escape and different things like that. But if more people there had freedom of thought, pretty soon the dictatorship would collapse. Because thought, energy follows thought, and thought is really powerful. So we must, if the disciples of the world all keep their freedom of thought, they will have freedom of speech. Secured. If we relinquish our freedom of thought, then our freedom of speech will be endangered. Okay, real good, Cindy.
Mike says the secret of wisdom is to accept the higher over the lower, the mind over the emotions, the intuition over the mind, and the spirit over all. That's wisdom. And I have a personal example recently in my life to illustrate this point. As many of you know, I have suffered for years with the case of the unworthies. I have felt not good enough for all of my life. And I have never been able to prove that I am worthy. I have believed that I was unworthy, and that thing stuck no matter what happened to me in my life. I knew I was unworthy, and no one could tell me otherwise. No blessing, no I love yous, no falling in love, nothing could keep me from my belief of being unworthy until Monday night when I was talking with Adam. And he said, the thought of being unworthy
causes negative emotions. So the fruit of that thought is evil. Those are my words, not his. But evil takes you away from the light. Anything evil is away from the light, and good is towards the light. And the fruit of this thought is evil. The fruit of this tree is evil, and therefore it cannot be true. The logic of that, it cannot be true because it has bad fruit. Was enough to overcome the emotion. The emotional belief of I'm not worthy was finally disrupted by the logic of it cannot be true if it has bad fruit. And it worked. It absolutely worked. Finally, I get it. The higher the logic, overcome the emotion, the lower. So now I have a bigger expansion because I got rid of the unworthies because of logic. So thank you to Adam.
Well, that was the appropriate one for you.